159 Ivy Street, Chapter 7. The start of the beginning New Year's Day had a way of exposing everything people try to hide. Empty champagne bottles, unreturned texts, regret tucked behind hangovers. At 10:30 in the morning, the world felt suspended between intention and consequence, like it hadn't quite decided what it was going to become yet. Anthony's voice bounced off the walls the moment the front door closed behind him. Times Square was insane. You should have seen it, confetti everywhere, people screaming. Some guy in a diaper, "Mom, Mom, where are you?" Anthony is in the house. He stayed overnight at Natalie's, then she brought him home after a wild night in Times Square. Natalie followed him inside, her heels dangling from two fingers, mascara smudged just enough to suggest she'd lived a little too hard the night before. The house was completely quiet as they entered the living room. "Josephine! Hey, girly, where are you?" She called out, dropping her coat over the banister. "Anybody home?" the house answered with silence. Anthony shifted his backpack higher on his shoulder. "She said she'd be home early." "She did," Natalie murmured, scanning the living room. No jacket tossed over a chair, no shoes kicked off by the door, no Josephine-shaped evidence anywhere. Her stomach tightened. Natalie was getting concerned that something may have happened. Josephine left the dinner party in a hurry just half an hour before midnight. Watching the ball drop at Times Square from the excitement, Natalie forgot to check in on her after midnight. She remembered teasing her about it, assuming nerves or exhaustion. But now, standing in the quiet house, Natalie's confidence thinned. She was getting agitated, and so was Anthony. "Hey, little man, I'm sure your mom is fine. She had probably slept in. You stay here. Go grab some water. I'll check upstairs." Anthony went into the kitchen for a glass of water while watching Natalie sprinted to the upper floor. She took the steps two at a time. "Josephine?" Her voice sharpened with each unanswered step. "Jose." The bedroom door was open. Natalie peeked into the bedroom and saw that her bed hadn't been slept in. Natalie's heart stuttered and then dropped clean out of her chest when she saw a body on the floor. "Oh my God! Oh my God! No, no, no!" Natalie's voice fractured as she rushed forward. Josephine lay slumped against the side of the bed, her head resting at an awkward angle against the night table, one arm stretched toward the floor. Her phone lay inches from her fingertips, screen dark, silent. "Josephine? Oh shit! Fuck! I knew you shouldn't have gone off on your own. Fuck!" Natalie was freaking out. Natalie's hands were shaking as she fumbled for her phone. She was about to call 911. "Hey," Josephine said softly, her voice thick with sleep. "Why are you yelling? You guys are back." Natalie froze. Brown eyes blinked open slowly, confused, warm, smiling. She stared at her as she'd just witnessed a resurrection. Relief hit first, violent, dizzying relief followed closely by fury. "I thought you were dead," Natalie snapped, shoving her phone back into her pocket. "You're sleeping on the floor, Jose, on the floor." "What the hell is wrong with you?" Josephine squinted up at her, trying to piece the moment together. Her body felt heavy, boneless. She realized she was still wearing last night's dress, the pencil skirt hugging her hips, the faint scent of perfume clinging to the fabric and memory. A walk down memory lane back to her college days. Tight pencil skirts and jean jackets were so popular then. Wake up on a couch in a house with other people you don't recognize and wearing the same clothes from the night before. "Good times." "Oh," she said faintly. She still had that warm and fuzzy feeling from spending the night with Broaden on the phone until 7 a.m. She recalled the night from memory, then realized she had fallen asleep while watching the sunrise with Broaden. Josephine had the biggest smile on her face as she raised her head to look at Natalie. Natalie looked puzzled, angry, but also relieved that Josephine was okay. Too okay with that silly, smiley face. Natalie's anger faltered. "Why do you look like that? Why were you sleeping on the floor? What the fuck kiss going on? You're okay, right?" Too many questions and too early in the morning, that's what Josephine was thinking. "I fell asleep watching the sunrise," Josephine said. "With him," Natalie blinked. "You fell asleep where?" "My legs are numb," Josephine added thoughtfully. "Can you help me up?" Natalie hauled her to her feet, still unconvinced this wasn't a hallucination. "You will explain details, all of it, over coffee, immediately." Oos laughed, a sound that surprised even herself. "God, yes, coffee, I need a vat of it." As she steadied herself, flashes of the night rushed back in fragments, Broaden's voice low and steady, laughter dissolving into quiet pauses the way time had stopped behaving normally somewhere after midnight. She'd sunk to the floor without thinking, her back against the bed, phone warm in her hand as it belonged there. She hadn't felt tired. She hadn't felt alone. She felt held. "Where's Anthony? Was he okay?" I hope he wasn't too much trouble, she asked as Natalie shepherded her toward the hallway. The kitchen, he's fine, unlike me, I've aged 10 years. Jose winced. I'm sorry, shot her a look. You're not, and that's what scares me, and give your son more credit. He was great, had a wonderful time, looks to me that you did too, I think. Jose disappeared briefly into the bathroom, changed into fleece and socks, and washed her face. She barely recognized herself in the mirror, not because she looked different, but because something inside her had shifted, like a door had opened and forgot how to close. She hadn't been this happy since the birth of her son, apart from a few of his birthdays. Anthony was already absorbed in his game, thumbs flying, jaw set with determination, playing Red Dead Redemption. Anthony! Hey, your mom is upstairs. A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Louder, what's up with this family? Nobody answers when you call them. Jeez Louise, Josephine came downstairs glowing and exhausted. Hi, Mom! Anthony yelled out from the living room, never took his eyes off the game. Joe smiled. Hey, sweetheart, Anthony, are you hungry? Anthony, while playing his game, managed to hear his mom speaking. Kids are very good at selective multitasking. No, Mom, thanks, I ate at Auntie Natalie's when I woke up. Leaned against the kitchen counter, arms crossed, turned to Josephine. You owe me, she said flatly. Big, I want everything, crystal detail. This is going to be good. I have never seen you get so giddy in my life. Spill it, girl. Natalie was anxious with heightened anticipation to hear Jose's story. Skipping out from a New Year's Eve party half an hour before midnight, then waking up on the floor by your bed, there must be a juicy story to be told. Natalie, she said quietly, thank you. For everything, you are such a great friend, my best friend. I don't know how to thank you. Once again, you saved my life. Natalie didn't care for the compliments. Yeah, yeah, whatever, coffee first. Confession second. I want to hear everything that happened after you left the party. Josephine was still half asleep. Okay, but I need my coffee. Oh God, I'm so tired, but I feel like I could fly. Natalie, I will tell you everything, but I need to pump a lot of coffee into my system, like now. Hey, do me a favor, can you turn on the coffee machine? The coffee and the filters are in the cupboard above it. Once I have my coffee, I will tell you everything. Please, I promise. Natalie didn't have a choice. A cup of caffeine would do some good for both. She had a great time last night with her friends and stayed up until 3 a.m. at the hotel. Not as crazy as Josephine's night, but Natalie had a damn good time. She wished that her cousin, Tony, had stayed longer. He left after dessert, then drove back to Philly. Tony was all alone at midnight. Cheers were heard everywhere except for Tony, quietly driving home with a pain in his stomach. He thought he had a chance with Josephine, but it ended in a flash. The truth was that his chance had never started, and it never came. This realization was what has hurt him the most. Natalie spun one of the kitchen chairs around and then straddled it. Jose was checking the fridge for possible breakfast options. The fridge door was open so that it was between Jose and Natalie, blocking their line of sight. Jose playfully peeked around the fridge door to see Natalie's reaction. Natalie knew that Jose was purposefully delaying the procession just to torture her. She was anxious to hear about Jose's wild 10-hour rendezvous with her broaden. Natalie was annoyed. Damn it, girl. Don't make me get off this chair, then come over to beat it out of you. Tell me now. Josephine was deflecting as much as she could. The coffee machine sputtered to life, filling the kitchen with warmth and promise. The smell of coffee does wonders for your soul. It lifts and invigorates to promote normal functions and engages the brain to be actively perceptive. Jose wrapped her hands around the mug like it was sacred, held it close to her nose to fully appreciate the aroma from a good cup of coffee. For a moment, neither of them spoke. Then Jose's smile trembled. Sitting across from Natalie, Josephine's face turned serious. She placed the cup on the table while staring down at it. Tears started to form around the corners of her eyes as they glided gently across her cheeks. Natalie got off her chair and then moved to sit beside Josephine. She put her arm around Jose and sighed heavily. Hey, girly, what is going on inside your little brain? Broaden's little but very fat cockapoo, Bailey, was agitated since he hadn't been out all morning. The dog didn't approve of Broaden coming home late and breaking the living room window. Bailey felt ignored and cold from the draft. He had no idea what Broaden was saying for 7 hours on the phone, but he looked happy. The breeder said that Bailey would max out at 25 pounds when Broaden picked up his dog 4 years ago. Whatever Broaden was feeding him, Bailey was closing in on 40 pounds and counting. Bailey went to Broaden's bedroom, but he wasn't there. He frantically searched upstairs, starting with the bathroom, then the study. Finally, he's found him. Braden was in the guest bedroom. He was lying on the floor with the landline phone off-hooked and beeping. Bailey tried to nudge Braden, face with his short snout to awake him, but without success. Braden was dead to the world. Dogs will do what they do best when they are stressed. Woof, woof, and a few ruff-ruff. Braden was coming around to a barking dog like the apocalypse had arrived. Bailey, quiet, geez, what time is it? Isn't that what everyone asks first thing in the morning? Even to a dog, Braden wasn't expecting an answer from Bailey. Okay, okay, he muttered, rubbing his face. I'm up. He slowly got off the floor. The torn right ankle tendon has been bothering him since the football game in October. It took Braden a minute to realize that he was in the guest room. It was a sunny first day of the new year. Flashback to a few hours ago, when the sun was barely showing its face, he remembered listening to Josephine's voice. Good morning, Jose. I wish you were here. I love you. Braden quickly got changed into his trackies and then headed out the door with Bailey. He has had a new look at life since his breakup with Jenine. The void in his heart was now filled with a warm presence. Bailey was standing by the doorway, hinting that he needed to go now. Bailey danced in place, tail wagging furiously. As Braden clipped the leash on, memory rushed back in a flood so vivid it stole his breath. I love you, he'd said. Not carefully, not cautiously, and she hadn't run. Braden looked at Bailey, then smiled. Sorry, buddy, my bad. Let's go for a long walk. I have a great story to tell you, and you won't believe what happened to me last night. I'm not sure myself either. Outside, the air was cold and clean, the world startlingly bright. Braden walked like a man reborn, smiling at strangers, replaying her laugh until it felt stitched into him. Bailey was tagging along, feeling the radiance. Two blocks down, towards the park, was their final destination for Bailey to run around leash-free. Being almost 20 pounds overweight, Bailey doesn't run much anymore. Good morning, Braden! The voice took Braden by surprise. He noticed Taylor in her tracksuit, standing on her driveway. She was getting warmed up for a jog. Taylor was in her early 20s and lived with her mom, a sweet-looking girl with a string of bad luck with boyfriends. Braden bumped into Taylor at the corner coffee shop last November and had an hour-long chat. Taylor opened up to Brad. They talked about her life, which was about her boyfriend, Carlos. Her cycles of an on-and-off relationship with her boyfriend were a dead end, but Taylor hadn't come to her senses yet. Happy New Year, Taylor. How goes it? Okay, I guess. Happy New Year. You guess. Come on, Taylor. No wild New Year's party last night. Brad knew it was coming. It has something to do with the boyfriend. I'm betting on it. Nope, it sucked. Carlos didn't want to do anything, so we just watched TV until midnight. What a surprise if you only knew about my night. Maybe it's best to have an intimate night instead of dropping big bucks on some loser party. Sensible, right? Yeah, when I'm like 50, I don't know about Carlos, it's just not working out. Damn, girl, I could have told you that 2 months ago. But you did nothing then, and you're not doing anything about it now. Give it time, Taylor. Boys will be boys. Eventually, they will wake up and become men when they realize what they have. Going for a run. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning, why not? What are you up to, Brad? Well, Bailey woke me up early, so we are off to the park for a long walk. Bailey was getting annoyed again. He's been sitting and waiting on the cold pavement for this conversation to end. Why is he talking all the time? I don't get why humans need to talk so much. Us dogs, we just sniff each other, then off we go. Hey, good luck with the boyfriend. He will come around. No chance for that. He's a freaking first-year college dropout loser. It's not that early, Brad. It's already 11 a.m. I think Bailey wants to go. Happy New Year. Maybe we can meet up at the coffee shop if you're not busy. Oh boy, can't wait. Sure, Taylor, just knock on my door. I'll see you later. Bailey was happy that they were on the move again. There hadn't been much snowfall in December other than a sprinkle on the 30th. The ground was cold and fairly dry for Bailey to run around. Once the leash came off, Bailey ran about for a minute, then stopped. He sniffed the grounds for the next 20 minutes without exerting a lot of energy. Brad was standing by the park bench, staring into space. He was replaying the events from the previous night as if he were watching a movie. From time to time, he laughed out quietly while looking up to the sky, then took in a deep breath. If there were an observer in the park, the deduction would have been seeing a crazy man talking to himself. Braden was not mentally crazy. He's just crazy in love with his Josephine. Oh shit, my freaking living room window. Who the hell will work on New Year's Day to replace my window? Bailey, you ready to go soon? I have a window to fix. The kitchen was filled with the aroma of sweet Brazilian coffee. Natalie and Josephine sat at the kitchen table in silence. Josephine's tears slipped free, not from sadness, but from fullness. Natalie, I had one of the most amazing nights of my life. I was so desperate to get home before midnight, then I cried in the taxi, thinking I wouldn't make it. All I could think of was that I might lose Braden if I couldn't get hold of him. I can't explain it. It was something so powerful, a force that drove me crazy wanting him so badly. Then I made it. Sat in the kitchen, quietly absorbing every single word. This is even better than breakfast at Tiffany's. Lose him how? Then what? I'm getting hungry, do you want something? Natalie held on to Jose's arm, not letting her move. Hell no, you're not going anywhere, Jose. You're not moving from this chair until I get the whole story. Josephine was amused by Natalie's reaction, but also knew that she was serious. Before I got back, I called Brad to let him know that I'm heading home and I will be waiting, but he didn't answer. I got home and I started crying again. I sat in the kitchen, just stared at the phone, hoping it would ring. Natalie pointed at the wall phone in the kitchen. That phone, then what? Something happened. What next? Just hold on, Natalie, I'm getting to it. 1 minute to midnight, or maybe it was midnight, the phone rang. It startled me and I almost dropped the phone when I picked it up. It was Braden. Oh my God, Jose, this is a freaking fairy tale. You should write a book or something. Anyway, then what? Josephine took a deep breath and then continued. It was Brad. He left his cell at the office, so he didn't know that I had called and left messages. Then he left the house keys at the office, so he had to break a window to get into his house. This is priceless. You can't make this shit up, Jose. I need a glass of wine or something. Okay, go on. Natalie was getting all giddy like a 10-year-old on Christmas Day with the biggest present under the tree. Well, after breaking into his house, he broke into his own house, Natalie howled. Jose, that's insane. I know, Jose laughed. And then, luckily, Brad has a landline phone, so he was able to check his messages by calling his cell number. From that, he got my number, so he was able to call me. Right at midnight. Damn, this is insanely romantic, Jose. No wonder you're all smiley this morning. Nat, do you want to hear the story or not? I don't need your commentary, really. Okay, sorry, keep going. Where was I? Right, so it was Braden on the phone, and he was so, I don't know how to describe it. He loves me, that's how he makes me feel. Silence. Both ladies were just staring at each other in the kitchen. No one spoke. The sound of sword fighting can be heard from the Xbox game in the living room. Anthony walks into the kitchen for a glass of water. You guys okay? Mom, what's wrong? The silence broke. Hi, honey, everything is fine. Auntie Natalie and I were just talking. Are you okay? You guys looked serious. Weird, I'm fine, I was just playing my game. The Xbox is the coolest. Are we still going to the movies? Josephine completely forgot about going to the movies as she had promised. She couldn't let him down. Honey, go online and check out what movie you want to go see and the times. Make it a little later, like 4 p.m., then we will go. And later, pizza at Gino. All right, Mom, you're the best. Didn't take much to make a kid happy. Anthony took his glass of water and then disappeared back to his game. Jose, what did you guys talk about for how many hours? And then we talked. About nothing. About everything. About who we were at 17 and who we never thought we'd become. Josephine was finding ways to make sense of it all, so it's less crazy when it was said out loud. Nat, I have no idea what was said, but I was in the kitchen, then I was in my bedroom. I have no idea why I was sitting on the floor. It just felt right. Next thing you know, I was watching the sunrise with Brad. It was nuts, I know. Then I fell asleep on the floor against the side of the bed. I don't remember saying goodbye. We both just fell asleep while the sun was rising. Jose, this is what love should be, or it's madness. It could be even better than a movie. Is this real or just a glimpse of a fantastical dream? I just don't want to see you get hurt. Jose nodded. Probably both. Trust me, Natalie, neither do I, but I'm all in now. I'm in love with a guy that I have yet to meet. Can you tell me what's happening? I don't know anymore. If this is real, how should I feel? What should I look for? This is crazy. I should call it a day. Sound advice, great advice, but I'm throwing it away. Love has a hold of me now. Natalie was happy for Josephine, but she's worried, very, very worried. Josephine is in love with his voice, his music, and his lyrics. How can this love even exist? She's in love with a man she has yet to meet or to know to really know someone. Nothing made sense, not anymore for these two puppet performers. Natalie leaned back in her chair, arms crossed, eyes thoughtful. I'm scared for you, she said honestly. I know, Jose replied. I am too. When Josephine finished speaking, the kitchen felt different, charged, quieter. Natalie exhaled slowly. That wasn't just a phone call. No, Jose agreed. It was an opening, studied her carefully. You're already across the line, are you? Jost didn't hesitate. Yes, but you're not stopping. No, sighed. Then all I can do is be here and make sure you don't disappear onto the floor again. Jost smiled, tired. Deal. Broaden replayed the night in fragments, the way Josephine's laughter softened when she was tired, the way she went quiet when something mattered. He'd never heard someone listen the way she did, like she was gathering pieces of him and holding them carefully. Then, the broken window. How crazy it was for him to spontaneously throw the stone through the window. Desperate measures in desperate times. Come on, Bailey, my old buddy. Let's go home. I will get you a threat once I wipe you down. What are the chances for anyone to break into an unlocked house with a broken window on New Year's Day? Broaden took off his jacket in the foyer and unleashed Bailey. He went upstairs to the bedroom with the only phone in the house. His cell is still in the coat pocket, the coat he left it in at the office from the night before. Broaden got online to check for emergency window repair services. Crossed his fingers, he will find somebody today and surely at a premium price. Option two was to secure a lot of cardboard and duct tape. He found a company to call. Hello, I can't believe you answered the phone. I have a broken window and I need it replaced as soon as possible. Size, it's about 8 feet by 4 feet. Insurance. That will be a no. No, again, it wasn't a break-in. I broke it myself. Yeah, for sure, it was stupid, but it had to be done. Look, can you do it today? Great, how much? Wow, it is New Year's Day, I get it. Okay, what time will you be here? Good, see you at 3, bye. The window is taken care of. I wonder what Josephine is doing right now. It was a very special night for Broaden, and he was feeling the effect from little sleep. Even happiness has its limits. The doorbell rang. Bailey was barking by the door. Who could that be? Can't be the window guy. The doorbell rang, followed by Bailey's chorus of barking, letting the owner know that someone was at the door. Can't be the window guy. He is early and fast. I'm impressed. Broaden put on another sweater and then headed to the front door. Hi, that was fast. Broaden stopped and became speechless. It wasn't the window repairman. The last person he expected to see at his door, it was Lisa. Oh my God, this is a surprise. More like a shock. Hi, Lisa. I didn't think I would ever see you again. Lisa, still in her party dress from the night before, looked stunning in daylight. That makes two of us, Bradley. I wanted to see you before I leave, and Happy New Year. God loves a comedy, but it's still a close second to a tragedy. Today, it was a double-feature matinee with lots of surprises. The irony was that Josephine was at the movies with Anthony, while Broaden was in a featured drama, and he's the main character.